Good morning. Welcome to our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We're talking and praying this week as a follow-up to Resurrection Sunday and looking at the resurrection victory that not only that Christ encountered, that he won, but the victory that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus, which empowers our being resurrected from the dead. That when we were dead in sin, Christ died for us so that we could rise with him. And today we're going to talk about resurrection testimony. What does our life say about the resurrection? What do our words say about the resurrection? Acts 4, verse 33 says, "With great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all." You think about testifying, you think, at least for me, I typically, my first thought goes to a court setting, of giving testimony of what actually happened. And if you've ever served on a jury or follow much courtroom procedures, you'll know that you can't just say whatever you want and have it accepted. I'm sure there are those that have tried. I'm sure there are those that get by with it from time to time, but there are rules in place within our courts to determine what testimony is valid and what is not. And such things as hearsay. You can't just make up something that you think someone else said or that you even heard someone else say, that you don't have firsthand information. And within the biblical terms, you could not bring an accusation without two or three witnesses. And the Bible talks about the way we treat our leaders, those who serve as shepherds, as elders, specifically about not entertaining accusations against them without multiple witnesses. And so we have rules, not only in our society, but within God's Word, regarding the validity of testimony that we accept. Those rules also apply to the testimony that we give. And when we think about the resurrection and the fact that the apostles were with great power testifying to the resurrection of Jesus, one of the requirements in the first chapter of the book of Acts for selecting a replacement for Judas was that it was someone that had been with them, who had seen and heard, that in a sense could testify to the same things that the other apostles had experienced. When Saul is converted and encounters Jesus on the road to Damascus, he later says that he became an apostle as one abnormally born. That Jesus revealed himself and taught him and showed him not only what was necessary for valid testimony, but what would be required of him. And so the question for us today, when we think about the resurrection of Jesus, when we think about how we live life compared to how we lived or lived in death before Jesus, the big question is, do our words and our actions match? One of the things that kind of destroys a testimony pretty quickly is when we say something, but people know that's not what we do. I can tell you that asparagus is the best vegetable ever created, and that you ought to have it for every meal. But those that know me know that I don't eat it. And so that testimony would not come across as very valid. Now, if I tell you that ice cream is something that we ought to have more of, and it ought to be a part of every meal, you may believe that testimony, at least for me. You may not agree with it, but my life would generally back that up. Maybe not the every meal part, but it would definitely be more believable. And when we look at our testimony about the resurrection of Jesus, I think the power that we have, not only is the power of God's Spirit within us, that's the source, but the power comes when our actions back up the words that we say. When we talk about the power of the resurrection, when we talk about Jesus defeating death and coming to life, but we live a defeated life ourselves, how far will that testimony go? But when we live in the midst of struggle with hope, when we live in the midst of difficulties with contentment, when we live in the midst of trouble with joy, and we do so not because we don't want to look bad, not because we don't have any other choice, but when we do so because of the power of Jesus, because of the life that we have in Christ, it gives weight to that testimony that we share about being a new creation. When the Bible tells us that in Christ we are a new creation, that the old has gone, the new has come, then it's our responsibility by the power of God's Spirit within us to live as that new creation. The testimony of the resurrection is a word and action package that defines for others what God has done in our life. And when we gather together, Jesus has told us that we were to remember Him. And as He ate what we refer to as that Last Supper with His disciples, as He took the bread and the cup and He commanded His disciples, His followers, us, that as often as we do those things, as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are to proclaim His death until He comes. We're to remember not only that He died, but that He's coming again because He lives. And when we live life as those who overcome, not necessarily overcoming in the way the world thinks and that we get rid of all of the things we don't like in life, but we use them. Our sickness, our job losses, our discouragement, our sufferings, our pain. Our first reaction is, God, please get rid of these for me. Please remove them. But Paul says it's when we become like Christ in His suffering that we can begin to grasp what it's like to join Him in His resurrection. And so when we endure, not simply get by, but we endure with purpose, when we take the things that our flesh wants to get rid of and use them for God's glory, for His purpose, for not only our good, but for the good of others, we begin to put flesh meaning behind the resurrection of Jesus. We begin to put visible meaning, might be a better word, behind our account of the resurrection of Jesus. You see, knowing the power of the resurrection within us ought to change the way we live. It ought to change the way we talk. It ought to give validity when we talk about a risen Savior. One of the great things, and I also think one of the not so great things about social media, is this past weekend my news feed and social media accounts was flooded with memes and photos and verses and statements proclaiming that He is risen. But unfortunately, much of that feed doesn't look like that this morning. It's back to the same old, same old. The divisiveness, the pettiness, the meaningless. And I'm not saying that everything that we post on social media has to have a overt spiritual tone to it. But does what we share with others, the other 364 days a year, give credibility to the one day that we share that He is risen? Does that testimony have weight because of the way we live, because of the way we make ourselves visible? That was the strength of the testimony of the apostles. As word of the resurrection of Jesus spread, as the apostles went about with great power testifying to the resurrection of Jesus, the Bible says that the leaders would step back and be amazed that these unschooled and ordinary men were turning the world upside, but they noted, they realized that these were men that had been with Jesus. It was obvious they were doing something, or something was being done through them that was beyond their natural ability or training. And so their testimony about the resurrection of Jesus was done with great power, not because they had power, but because the power of God was living within them. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that fills us with Your Spirit, empowers us with a testimony of life. And Father, there are times where we muddy up the waters of that testimony by our unfaithfulness, by our decisions, by our silence. And there's times we muddy up that testimony by the words that we say that contradict what we know to be true from Your Word. When the enemy has us feeling defeated and so discouraged that we think life is hopeless, and then we try to speak about the resurrection of Jesus and the power contained within that, and we can't speak with power because we're not certain we believe it. And so, Father, forgive us for our doubts and our struggles, and the lack of faith, but help us to grow in faith. Father, we believe, but we're like the man that cries out, "Help my unbelief." Our belief isn't pure and perfect all the time. And so, Father, help our words and actions be such that they match. That working together, that our testimony of the resurrection of Jesus carries weight, is heard with the power behind it that comes from you. And Father, may that testimony be true and right, because it's a testimony not only about Jesus coming back to life, but it's a testimony of our life being made new, of us coming to life out of the deadness of sin. Father, help us to be more consistent with that testimony of faith, with that testimony of the resurrection that is at work in our life. May we recognize the growth that is needed, the growth that you alone can produce. May we seek wisdom as we desire that this world would be turned upside down again. That our words and our actions, that our life would reflect the power of the resurrection in such a way that the people around us take note that we are those who walk with Jesus. Father, forgive us for the times that we're embarrassed to be seen as those who walk with Jesus. For those times that we try to hide and not be noticed. For those times that we try to hide and not let you be noticed. Father, may our testimony of the resurrection be true and valid. May those who hear it know there's validity to it because they see the results of it in our life. May our life be that example that removes the doubts that are held by others. May what we speak be what we experience. And may we join with the apostles in testifying to the resurrection of Jesus with great power. And as we do so, may we be deliberate in lifting up Him, so that many would be drawn to Him. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.